Well, there's two things, two big things I want to cover as I speak to you this morning. One is, the first big thing is that God is abundantly generous. That comes out. And the other is that God wants us to be like him, to also be generous in character. So those are the two things. God is abundantly generous and God wants us to be like him. Now, Paul was helping to take up a collection from the Gentile churches for the poor in Judea. Now, from what we know of the time, there'd been outbreaks of famine over those last few years, and the church in Jerusalem needed money to provide for those in need. So the Gentile Corinthian church had promised to give their Jewish brothers and sisters in Christ aid. And it was aid so that people presumably could eat and drink and survive through this tough time. And sure enough, the Macedonian church heard of this need and they begged to be involved. They'd taken up a collection and now it was time for the Corinthian church to follow through with their giving and what they'd promised. So Paul, through chapters 8 and 9, encourages the Corinthian church to follow through. And in the previous passage to what was read out just then, Paul reassures the Corinthians that Titus and other representatives can be trusted to take up this collection and administer its use. And here in this last section, before he finishes talking about it, Paul encourages the Corinthians to give generously by inviting them to reflect on the nature of giving. So the first thing Paul makes clear, I think, in these verses is that God is abundantly generous. In verses 6, 9, and 10, Paul likens giving to sowing and reaping, planting and harvesting. And like the perfect boss, God equips his labourers with all they need to do their job. God generously supplies the seed for their giving. Paul points out in verse 8, God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you'll abound in every good work. I don't know if you noticed the repeated emphasis in that sentence. God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you'll abound in every good work. I think the point that Paul is trying to make is that we can be in no doubt that we have what we need to serve God. And Paul is reassuring the Corinthians of God's provision. Now, we're not working for a human boss who will ask us to get something done but doesn't give you the training or the hours or the tools or the right supervision to get the job done. God is a generous boss who'll supply all his people, that's us, with what they need. We can have every confidence to rely on God for us. Again in verse 10, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed. Or put it another way, we don't have to worry that we'll run out of seed or money, because God can replenish our stocks out of his abundant riches. In verse 11, you'll be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. What Paul is drawing attention to is God's ability to provide for his people to do every good work, which includes generously giving towards the needs of God's people. This passage is not just talking about material wealth, but kind of, in a sense, every good work. But particularly as the Corinthians were being asked to gather a collection for money, it's referring to that. But not only supplying what we need to give, God goes ahead of his people, and God generously produces a harvest from our giving. Now, as in it was, I presume, a long time ago, farming is often difficult because it's subject to unpredictable weather, floods and droughts and fire. Particularly in our current day, a huge amount of research goes into protecting our crops from disease and vermin. I have a long-time friend who is a scientist who works in this area. But this is different when God's people choose to be generous. In a sense, the outcome or the harvest is not vulnerable to last-minute things beyond God's control. God is control of the harvest. And we can have every confidence that God will produce the right results when we choose to sow generously. So what will be the result of the Corinthian generosity? The first thing to note is that God's generosity to the Corinthians, who are in turn generous to the Judeans, this will result in thanksgiving to God. Verse 11. And again in verse 12 and 13. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service which you've proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ. And then in also verse 15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. So I think one of the big things Paul's drawing out as a result of the Corinthians stewarding their wealth in this way through giving is that other people will give thanks and praise to God. Not just those on the receiving end, but those who hear of this giving act will also thank God. Gentiles contributing to Jews in need. Those who are wealthy looking to the needs of those who are poor. I think which in that day must have been quite a witness. I think because Christianity has influenced Western culture so thoroughly, we don't see this kind of compassionate generosity as remarkable. But for first century Palestine, I imagine this was unheard of. So this is the first result. The Corinthian Christians' decision to use God's money generously will be used by God to bring about much thanksgiving and glory to God. The second area Paul mentions related to this idea of what is harvested is in the area of witness to others. In verse 13, Paul makes the link between the act of giving and the Corinthian confession of the gospel of Christ. Their giving is to be consistent with their faith and new identity, and proves their faith in Jesus. If they'd heard about the needs of their brothers and sisters in Christ and don't respond generously, are they acting with obedience to God? Their generosity, if you like, in this way strengthens their witness of what a follower of Jesus is like. Their giving is a practical outflow of their love and concern for their brothers and sisters in Christ. So that's the second thing, the witness of God and God's generosity. The third area of harvest Paul draws our attention to is that of strengthening relationships. The generous act of God's people in giving away material wealth will point people to God, witnessing to his generous love and ultimately Jesus, who generously gave his life so that others will gain life. The ultimate gain to giving is that people will turn to pray to God in praise, as Paul mentions in verse 13. So people in their relationship are being turned to God. Further, because of generosity between Christians, the bond of mutual affection between Christians also grows. In verse 14, and in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. I think it's a wonderful expression. In their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you. So the resulting harvest from using our wealth which is actually God's, is to bless others. To bless others is thanksgiving to God, witnessing to others of God's generosity, and the strengthening of relationships between God, people, and between Christians. Now, when we give, we may not see all these things whenever we give, but these are good and godly outcomes if and when we're deciding to give generously. What impresses me about the benefits of giving, according to Paul, is that the gain is God's. It points people to God. And the harvest is often largely eternal. So God is abundantly generous. He generously provides us with the seed to give and then produces a harvest from our giving. So it feels like God is doing all the work here. He supplies and he also helps produce the harvest. This underlies a solid theology of giving. God equips us to be generous for every good work. So why does God equip us to be generous? Well, that's the second big idea, which is God wants us to reflect his generous character. All he wants for us is to choose to be generous with his money, reflecting his generous nature. Going back to verses 6 and 7, we find that Paul addresses the Corinthians' heart and in essence asks them two questions. Will you choose to sow sparingly or sow generously? Will you choose to sow reluctantly or sow cheerfully? In verse 6, Paul likens giving to that sowing and reaping idea. And the more seed that's sown into the ground, the greater the harvest. And it would be crazy for a farmer to have the seed ready to go, but then not use it. But this illustration's not saying the more you put in, the more you'll get in return. It's not an economic exchange. As we've just heard, God is the one who supplies the seed. And in terms of the result, God is the one who increases the harvest. It's God provides and grows. I think it unlikely that the Corinthians got a big return on their giving to the Judean church. I mean, we don't even know that when Titus turned up, that the Corinthians gave generously as a result. The point Paul's trying to make is not to say that when we give, we'll get a personal return. If we give a little, then we'll get a little in return, or that if we give big, then we'll get a big in return personally. What we have here is Paul inviting the Corinthians into being a wholehearted part of God's work. He's saying to them, are you in with both feet? Is your heart in God's work? Do you want to see a big harvest? Do you want to be part of this work? Because if we do, then why would we decide to sow sparingly? In verse 7, Paul picks up again that heart of the giver. Each of you should give what you've decided to give in your heart to give. There's an intentionality about this. In last week's reading, we had that expression, giving according to what you have. And in his original instruction, back in the first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 16, Paul says to set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income. Here we have a picture of giving as God's stewards, which is voluntary, which is intentional, which is respectful of our personal situation, and is in proportion to our faith. We've got a picture of giving as God's stewards, which is voluntary, which is intentional, is respectful of our personal situation, and is in proportion to our faith. We're not to give reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves, he loves a cheerful giver. The kind of giving that God wants us is to engage is really from the heart. But notice something important here. Paul does not say God loves a cheerful gift, but a cheerful giver. It's about the person. The real sacrifice God wants is a heart so captured by the gospel, so caught up with thankfulness for God's grace and mercy and eternal blessings on us, that we want to please God by showing that same unconditional grace and gift to others. This is the kind of giving that God wants. Giving that reflects God's generous character. Now, of course, giving requires wisdom and discernment. We know that not all causes are the same. And some kinds of giving can even hurt others or make a situation worse. So it's good to understand how the money we give will be used and see whether it helps to bring thanks to God, is a good witness to God of others, and strengthens relationships in God and between believers. In that regard, the local church is often a great way to give, because you often see those things. A passage like this is good to think through because it alerts us to the fact that giving to a ministry, such as a collection for those in need, is not about buying a service. It's not a commercial exchange. It's not the same decision as investing in shares. It also alerts us to the importance of understanding that our money and possessions are given to us to be generous with. The psalm that Paul quotes, Psalm 112, if you look at that psalm, it pictures a righteous person who liberally scatters seed, gifts to the poor. And one would think that if they continued doing that, they would be in danger of ruin. However, the abundance of the righteous person is not due to their own work or even to the withholding of their possessions, but it's an abundance that's found in the receiving from God and the giving on to others. The psalmist, and indeed Christians' righteousness, has been given to us from God, and we give out of that righteousness of faith and our relationship in God. Now, let me finish with a story that kind of sums up, I guess, the kind of giving as I've been thinking about this passage. In our last role in the Territory, the diocese had been given money to provide for training in remote areas. This is in the Northern Territory. And we used that money, of course, for petrol and accommodation and to buy food so we could feed all the participants. But on the last night, we had a lot more food than we needed, like way more than we needed. So rather than taking it all back to Darwin, which would have been at least 5 or 6 hours drive, we decided to talk to the local leader. And we said to him, we've got all this food, we can give it to you. How would you like the church to use it? And he said, let's put on a community meal. So we worked together to cook the food and we put the word out. And all the people came with containers and they took the food away. And they took that food home and then they shared it with their family. Can you hear the cascading nature of the giving? People gave money and we used it to bring training. And then the overflow of the food was then used in the community. People gave thanks to God, and it was a great witness in the local community. At each stage, someone made the decision to share rather than to keep the resource to themselves. And I think let's be those kinds of givers where what we're given from God cascades from God through our hands and then on to others for God's glory. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your generosity to us. Thank you that you provide for us and that you go ahead of us when we give to help bring about a harvest. Lord God, work in our hearts. Help us through your Spirit to reflect your character. In Jesus' name, amen.